From the Word of God, from our text, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Who said this? God said it. Jesus Christ said this. I think it's, as I look at you all, I think it's safe to say that none of us were around 110 years ago. Sometimes we may feel like it, some morning, some, you know, but we weren't. So I'm going to share a few memorable events from 1912. Roald Amundsen announces the discovery of the South Pole. You know, I read that and I'm thinking, wow, did they only think there was a North Pole? I know everybody believed in Santa Claus then and all that, but discovering the South Pole. He, of course, sailed to it. The RMS Titanic, the world's largest ocean liner, hits an iceberg, and, of course, we know the rest of that tragedy. New Mexico becomes the 47th state and Arizona the 48th state. I think sometimes we forget that the flag was changed with different numbers, and we always think maybe there were 50, but there were 48 states for a good period of time. Had to find something for the sports fans. First Stanley Cup Challenge game to be played in 3 20-minute periods. Wow, goes way back. Baseball fans. New York Giant Josh DeVore steals 4 bases in an inning. Okay, so he was on first. Actually, they batted around, and he stole second and third on 2 different at-bats. U.S. Marines are sent to Nicaragua. U.S. Marines land on Cuba. There is conflict in the Balkans as it grows into an acute international crisis. And China votes for universal human rights. During all this, there was good news from the small town of Valley Park, establishment of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Zion. Not sure we have any first-time visitors. I've seen most of your faces, but first-time visitors to our church may wonder what's so special about this place that we call our home church. From the outside, it looks like, and I remember Linnell and I pulling up for the first time, looks like that little country church that are dotted all throughout the Midwest. And yet, special to us. Special because God speaks to us here, and God listens to us here as well. Let us take a look and see why we look like a Christian church. Pulpit, right? Lectern, processional cross, baptismal font, eternal light, showing the eternal light of Jesus, banners, I am, God is the resurrection and the life in Jesus Christ. He who believes in me will live. He who ever believes in Jesus will live. We have an altar to our Lord. On it, lower part, we have a cross. We're reminded that we are here to praise the Lord. On the altar surface, we have God's Word. We have the second sacrament, the Lord's Supper, prepared for us for the day. A cross, we have figurine of Jesus. We have the Christ candle throughout the whole time of Easter. Around you, you have stained glass windows. I'm talking about the real stained glass windows, right? Yeah. Banners leading all the way in or all the way out, whichever you refer to it. And in the entrance when you came in, you had a cross draped in white. Draped in white to remind us of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is how we look like a Christian church. No mistaking. This is us. We see it all the time. An And yet I would say that even if we worshiped in a structure as grand as Solomon's temple, what made the church special was not the architecture, nor the fixtures, but what happens inside the walls there, inside the walls and inside the hearts of all those who gather in God's house. Solomon gets that if you listen closely. And that truth is in his prayer of dedication for the Temple of Jerusalem. That temple had taken 7 years to build. I don't know the history for this, but I got to believe done by hand. This didn't just go up in a case of a year. The temple was four and a half stories tall. Many parts of the temple were covered in gold. Solomon does not boast about any of that. Solomon boasts about God's promised presence. Listen once again. The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there. What did God say? My name shall be there. And God's name was there, Solomon's temple. That's where God daily handed out the forgiveness of sins for all of his people. One way this happened was through daily offerings, a morning and an evening sacrifice when a lamb was sacrificed to God. You and I, as Christians, proclaim God's name in another way. We proclaim God's name in the one time sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the resurrected Son of God. Your and my sins are removed in Jesus, in his blood and in his righteousness. You and I, right now, are right with God. Right now, you and I are in the presence of God and forgiven in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter expands on this truth when he wrote, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. And yet, the Almighty God doesn't just speak to us, to members, if you would, of Zion. Our Almighty God speaks to all people who enter into these doors. Solomon was very confident of this, so he prayed about all others, aliens and foreigners, who would come to the temple to worship. When he comes, he prays toward this temple. Then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as you do your own people Israel, and may know that the house I have built bears your name. Solomon, part of his prayer of dedication, it seems a little bit odd to me that he asked God to do whatever the foreigner asks of you. It would have been so easy for Solomon to just pray about those who have gathered, the Israelites, and those who have gathered for this dedication of the temple. But he doesn't, because Solomon knew the one true God is the God of all people. Nothing can contain the love of God for all of his creation. Not the heavens, not even the highest heavens, as we heard. A few minutes ago, I took you for a little walk through, as you would, of the things that make us look like a Christian church. All of us gathered here this day know that Christian church is much more than how we look, more than we see with our eyes, The Christian church is, in Zion in particular, I would have to say, is all about having a heart for the Lord. It's all about having a heart for one another. And it is all about having a heart for all others. You and I are brought here for a purpose by God. Don't ever short sell that. God has brought you here, not just this day, but every day for worship. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Did you forget that? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, says the Apostle Paul. And being a temple of the Holy Spirit, God has placed his name upon each and every one of you, has placed his name upon all Christians in the water and the word of baptism. God has claimed you as his very own and will never let you go. Today, as Christians, we live in both the present and future of Jesus' church. And that is why in the Lord's Prayer we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, in these words, Jesus gives us his marvelous vision and hope for the future. It is a future hope that is right now, what we are living in this very moment. Because you see, without vision, without hope, we perish as individuals. We perish as Zion Lutheran Church, and so does the whole Christian church on earth without vision and hope. God is never going to allow that to happen. Baptisms will continue. Marriages will be performed. The Lord's Supper will always be celebrated right here. Today, salvation has come to this house. And yet God is not finished yet with you and me. And we can all say thanks be to God for that, right? Because as a body of Christ, we have a vision. We have a mission, we have a ministry, and most of all, we have a hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A hope that he places on each and every one of our hearts that lasts a lifetime and beyond. God has given us you. Amen.